good. You know, he showed Christ that as God. He showed Christ as God. When we look at verse 1, the psalmist says, "The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool." So the psalm shows Christ as Lord. Yes, the promise. The Father assures the Son that his enemies will be humbled. That his enemy will be humbled. He showed Christ also as a king. He showed Christ as a king. He showed Christ as a priest. He showed Christ as a priest. And he showed Christ as a judge. In verse 6, when you look at that verse 6, he said that he shall judge among the heathen. He shall fill the places with the dead body, with the dead bodies. He shall wound the earth over many countries. Over many countries. And finally, he showed Christ as a victorious warrior. Victorious warrior. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yes. What are those things that we are going to talk about here today? When you look at verse 3, which is the main verse of our gathering together, he said, "Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauties of holiness, from the womb of the morning, thou as the dew of thy youth, of thy youth." That same verse in NIV, it says, "Your troops will be willing on your day of battle, arrayed in holy splendor. Your young men will come to you like dew from the morning's womb." And the Message Bible put it this way. Message Bible put it this way. "Your people will freely join you, resplendent in holy armor, on the great day of your congress. Join you at the fresh break of day. Join with all figure of youth." Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You see, I want to talk from the angle that when we are talking about the day, the topic is in the days of his power. When is the date of his power? Thank God for the hymn that we have read. We are talking in the days of his power. We are talking of when the Holy Ghost, that is the power of God, will come. And it's already here. The day of his power is already here. And he's talking in those, even when you look at all the verses that I've mentioned here, he's talking about the youth, the young men, the young women, the youth, you know, talking about the figure of the youth, that is the power of the youth, the power of the youth. So when we are talking about this thing, and he said that on that day the people will do what? They'll be willing. So the question I want to ask you today is that: Are you willing? In Isaiah chapter 1, verse 19, Isaiah chapter 1, verse 19, the Bible says that if you are willing and obedient, you will eat the fruit of the land. Only those who are willing, only those who are obedient, we eat the fruit of the land. You know, God is God that we want you to do whatever you want to do willingly. It is not a matter of compulsion. God will not compel you. Sometimes people are saying that, there are some people that will say that, if what I'm doing is not good, why should God not tell me? Why should God allow me to do it? Oh, God is God. He's not an headmaster. You know, I remember, I don't know whether it's happening now. I remember when we were in a primary and secondary school, they would say, don't cross the lawn. Yeah? You know the lawn. And when you cross the lawn, you'll be taken to headmaster's office and you'll be beaten. They will beat you for crossing the lawn. That is a human being. But our God is not human. Our God is God. He has given you free will. Decide on what you are going to do. That's why the Bible says, we have shown you the right way and the wrong way. Choose which way you want to go. And the Bible says that there is a way that is that seems right to a man. The end thereof is what? Destruction. You will not go into the way of perdition in the name of Jesus. So what we are saying in effect is that our God is God. We say that when you are willing and obedient, you will heed the fruit of the land. So what we are talking about here is that God is asking for your willingness to follow him. God is asking for your willingness to follow him. You must follow him. But when we are talking of God following him, it's not that somebody will drag you along. No. Devil will want to drag you to his side. But God wants you to make a decision, an informed decision about what you want to do. You know, the Bible makes it clear that you cannot follow two masters. They say that a dog cannot be guiding two houses. That's why Yoruba says that So that is why you either decide to follow God or you decide to follow the devil, and you will not follow the devil in the name of Jesus. I say you will not follow the devil in the name of Jesus. So before you can be among the truth, you know, the Bible is talking about the truth. Yeah? Who will be willing on the day on your day of battle, that is on God's day, on the Lord's day of battle. Before you can be among the truth that will be willing on the day of battle, there are certain things that are required from you. If you are going to be among the truth that we follow Christ on that day and now. Because the battle is already declared. The devil has already declared the battle. It's for you to say that no, I'm going to be victorious with Christ Jesus. What are those things that we are talking about? First and foremost, you must know your God. Because we are talking about those who are going to follow God. And if you don't know God, how do you follow God? If you don't know me, how do you follow me? If I say follow me and I'm going, you don't know where this man, I've never known him before. Do I know where he's leading me to? That is why for you to be among the truth, you must know your God. The Bible says those who know their God, they will do exploits in Daniel. In the book of Daniel, the Bible says those who know their God will do exploits. Only those who know their God. Those who did not know their God can never do exploits for him. Because they don't even know what God wants them to do. So for you to be among the troop that the Lord is reserving for his end time victory, you must be those person who knows is God. So you want to know God, you must know God if you want to do exploit on for him. And also, you must be somebody who choose your friend wisely. You must choose your friend wisely. Maybe let's look at Psalm 1. Psalm 1. Psalm 1. I want to read the first three verses. It says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in the law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. So when we are talking, you must know the type of person that you are moving with. They say, show me your friend, and I will tell you the type of person you are. If I have never known you before, and you say that this is my friend, let me just see that, let me just study that friend, and I'll be able to tell you that you are like who you are befriending. Don't go with people who are leading you to the way of perdition. You cannot tell me that you are moving with a drunkard, you are moving with a smoker, and you say that no, I know myself. I will never drink. Oh, I will never smoke. It may be so. But I want to tell you from practical experience, I used to have some friends in secondary school. Before then, I never smoked. But this friend, they started smoking. In fact, some of them like smoking to the extent that after food, if you are not smoking, you will not be satisfied. My first experience of smoking was through them. But I want to thank God that I did not know the beauty in smoking. That is why it has never been part of me. So when you are moving with people of evil, the possibility is that you will join them. The possibility is that you will join them. In Proverbs, the Bible talks about that whoever is moving with evil people will also be called evil. He said, evil communication corrupt what? Corrupt manner. If you are talking evil, there is no way you can say that you have a good character. You have a good manner. No. So you need to watch out those people that you are associating with. Know that those people you are associating with. The Bible tells us in that first one, I want to remind us again. He said, blessed is the man who worketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor seated in the seat of the scornful. See the three qualifications. Eh? Ungodly, sinners, and the scornful. You can only be called blessed. And that is when God will now say that you are my what? You are a warrior for me. You are a soldier for me. You are a soldier for me. So you have to watch out. Watch those people that you are communicating with. Watch those people that you are friendly with. Mind you, I'm not saying that you cannot be an associate of anybody. You can be, because if you don't do, how are you going to save them? How are you going to preach to them? But remember that your sinners must not be your best friend. Ungodly woman must not be your friend, your best friend. I watched a film. I cannot remember the title. It was a Manzion film. You know, there was this girl. They were both students. They are both students. There was this girl. One of them was so godly that she always, you will know that this is a Christian. But the other one was just like whatever. And one day, the boyfriend of those that was unchristian, asked them that, okay, let us go to my house. I want to give you money. Unfortunately, on the way, he has planned and they kidnap the three of them. They kidnap the three of them. When they get there, they tie the two girls. And the other one, the boy, was not there. And later, it was discovered that it was the boy who brought them to that herbalist. But because of the Christian one who was praying, and was not sleeping. That was the reason why they were able to escape. You know, when you are working with ungodly, anything can happen. When you are working with ungodly, anything can happen. So you have to watch the people you are working with. What again are those things are the requirement that God expects from you? Another thing is that there must be self-denial. In Luke chapter 9, when we look at verse 23, Luke chapter 9, it was Jesus himself who was talking to us. In Luke chapter 9, verse 23, the Bible says, Luke chapter 9, verse 23, and he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Self-denial is a daily affair. It is not that, yes, yesterday I denied myself. Today I want to enjoy myself. No. It's a daily affair for those who want to be part of the soldiers of God. Part of the troop that the Lord is going to use even in this end time. If you don't want to die in the battle or to be wounded in the battle, we need to have self-denial. So you must be ready to obey God rather than following self. Yes, it's very easy to follow self. And sometimes we rationalize it by saying that, yes, it is the Spirit of God that is telling me that. You know, I always tell people nowadays, we Pentecostal, we always do things by ourselves. What we want to do, we do. And when somebody is telling you, he's telling that, oh, it is the Spirit of God that is asking me to do it. But it is the Spirit of God that asked me to do it. When a lady is following an unbeliever, and they caution her, why are you doing that? Oh, it's the Spirit of God. I know what I'm doing. I have the Spirit of God in me. So I know what I'm doing. It's very easy for us to follow the flesh. Yes, to follow the flesh. Our flesh always wants to do things that is favorable to it. But we must be able to satisfy the Spirit of God in us by saying, no, I'm not going to follow the flesh. Rather, I will follow the Spirit of God. Self-denial is very, very important. You know, a good soldier will always obey. A good soldier will always obey the commandment or the instruction given by the commander. Whether convenient or not, we follow. But I was talking about 2 days ago, I said that a soldier, when you tell a soldier, go and kill your mother, obey first before complain. If you go and kill the mother, he may not come back to the commander and say, but sir, what has my mother done that I say I should kill my mother? But first and foremost, he will obey. So, whatever happens, when God says do this, there is no time for you to be saying that, God, I know that is not good enough for me. I cannot do that. You know, we always rationalize and say that, after all, God give me wisdom.
And I know that God is saying that it's not God that is telling me that. It's not God that is telling me that. But why is it convenient for our flesh? Oh, we say that, yes, I know it's the Spirit of God that is talking to me. Let us seek and obey God. Let us do self-denial. And the Lord is going to be with us in the name of Jesus. And also, you must stand firm by being example. By being example, a good one indeed. In 1 Timothy chapter 4. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, when we look at verse 12, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, Bible says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in what? In conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. In purity. So, Paul here enjoying is a son that we should not allow people to despise or put us into disrespect just because you are a young person. Don't just say because it's my senior pastor that said I should do this, and you know that it's wrong. I don't know whether you have read your Bible to that a prophet that was sent to Israel. And God told the prophet, go and deliver my message and do not eat anything there. Deliver my message, do not eat anything there. But he delivered the message. They asked him to eat. He said, no, I'm not going to eat. He left the town. And the older prophet, when he had said, where is he? He said he had gone. He ran towards him. And he met him at the foot of the tree. And he told him, oh, why are you not eating? He said, the instruction I was given is that I should deliver the message and go back. He said, okay, that God that told you has already told me also that you should eat. It was not God that was telling him. The older prophet was the one that was saying, God says. And he believed, the younger prophet believed him. He ate. And after eating, God now told him, because you have done this, that is where you are going to die. I mean, then God said that, lion came and devoured the man, the prophet. Maybe if it had been me or you, we say that it is not his fault now. After all, the man is the senior pastor of the church. Oh, the man is the one that says tell him he shouldn't be the one that should be punished. That is your own, but that is not God. So, brothers and sisters. You know the reason why in first world we don't say that, yes, God told me that this is your husband, this is your wife. We don't do that. Because we believe you are a prophet by yourself. When you believe you are a prophet, God is going to speak to you about what God wants you to do. When you come to me and say that, the Lord is telling me that this sister is going to be my wife. Oh, this brother is going to be my husband. Or what, I will sit you down, tell me, how did you know? And after telling me, I will pray also about it. And whatever God told me about it, I will be able to tell you. So, you must be an example. That was saying, you must be an example in all these things that the Bible is talking about. Don't because you are young and people are despising you. And people are despising you. You must be an example. You must be an example You must be an example in word. In the word you speak out, people must be able to say that, no, this is a child of God. In the word you speak out, people must be able to say that, no, the way you are speaking is different from the way other people are speaking. After all, the Bible talks about people in Antioch.
When they saw the disciple, when they saw the way the disciples were behaving, when they saw the way they are talking, they said, who are these people? And they are arguing amongst them. Don't you know that they are Christians? They have been following Christ. So in your world, you must be an example of believers. Oh, in conversation, and I want you to know that when the Bible is talking about conversation, it's talking about conduct. In your conduct, in the way you comport yourself, in the way you carry yourself, you must be an example of believer. You must be an example of believer. And also, when you must be an example of believer in charity. That is in love. In love. You must be an example of believer in love. The way you love brother, the Bible says in the Romans, it says, love be without what? That is, the love must be among all of you. You must love brother, you must love sister. That we are talking about agape love. We are not talking about Eros love. We are talking about agape's love. But what is happening now? Brothers and sisters, they put them in a corner. In fact, it has got to a stage that when we come for convention, the authority will send people out. I am going to be looking at them, going around every corner, whether anybody is locking the corner. That'd be so bad. But the Bible says we should be an example of a believer in charity. That is in love. We should be an example of believer in spirit. The Spirit of God must dwell in you richly. That you too will know that the Spirit of God that is directing you, not the spirit of flesh. That the Spirit of God that is directing you, not the spirit of flesh. So, we must be an example in faith and in purity. In purity. It should not be out of fashion for our guys to still have virginity. It should not be out of place. It should not be out of fashion to have virginity. That in the first day of their marriage, that the family of the husband, we get to say that, Eko omo yi dada, omo yi igbeko. Don't let anybody despise you. Sometimes when you come across a believer, we tell you, I tell her that I've been warned that I should not do anything until I marry. Say that that's old fashioned. That's old fashioned. Why are you omoko ni woni? Tell them omoko ni mi. The Lord will help us. I said the Lord will help us. We need his help. This world is upside down. But because the world is upside down, that does not mean that we should also be upside down with it. When everybody is losing his head, we should be able to be seen that we are holding our head. That we are holding our head. In Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1. Let's look at verse 6. Titus chapter 1, verse 6. It says, if any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not a cause of riot or unruly. No, is that not where I want to go. That's not where I want. I think Titus chapter 2, please. Titus chapter 2, verse 6. It says, young men, likewise, exhort to be sober-minded, in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity. That was a sort of advice given by Paul, even to Titus. In verse 8, it says, sound speech, that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Brothers and sisters, people are always ready even to blame you. People are always ready to find fault in you. But when you are sincere, when you have integrity, they will whatever they will say that no, in all things, no, we trust him. Remember what happened to Daniel. Daniel was so sincere, has integrity to the extent that when they wanted to implicate him, when the other chiefs, other princes wanted to implicate him, they look, they say, there is nothing we can even nail him with. They confess that for Daniel, there's no way. The way we talk, you cannot nail him. The way we conduct him, you cannot nail him. Say, okay, there's only one way. The only way we can nail him is concerning his God. It's concerning his God. And so, when the king made that law that nobody should pray to any God except to his idol, Daniel was not perturbed. The Bible says he went to his house and opened the window as he used to do. It was not hypocrisy. It's not because they say nobody should go to church. You say, why should you say I should not go to church? I will go to church. And before, you have not been going before. But because there was a law, and you want people to say that, yes, I want them to know that I'm a Christian. They say, Daniel opened his window as his character, as he used to do. That was the way he used to do. It wasn't a thing that he's just doing it. He was not just doing it. And he prayed to his God. And quickly, because they have been watching him, they went to the king to report to the king. Ah, ati mu ọdaran kan o. Daniel loruko e o. Brothers, that place we are reading, that is Titus chapter 2, verse 8 says, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil things to say of you. People, you should do good things that to the extent that when people want to condemn you, they will see nothing to condemn you for. We are talking about in the days of his power. And I'm saying, this is the time, this is the day of God's power. This is the day of God's power. And God is looking for troops. God is looking for soldiers. Who is going to carry along to fight the battle? Are you going to be one of them? Are you willing to be one of them? If you want to be one of them, you must, those qualities, you must acquire them. Who wants you to be? Are you willing to fight the battle with the Lord? Are you in the Lord's side? Why not talk to God? What side are you? Is there anything in your life that may, when you are in the battle, that may make you to be wounded? Why not ask for forgiveness this moment? Tell God, forgive me, O Lord. Tell God, forgive me, O Lord. Make me, O Lord, Father, Lord, your battle axe. In this end time, make me your battle axe. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I want you to talk to God. 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 You are in this mountain, even to be strengthened. You are in this mountain, even to be renewed. Talk to him. What are those things that can hinder me, O Lord? What are those that can hinder me, O Lord, from being renewed, from being strengthened, being empowered? Help me, Lord Father, remove it, O Lord. Help me remove them, O Lord. The Bible says, we say, we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sin, that God is faithful and just to forgive all our sin. Why not confess your sin? Why not confess yourself unto God? Confess your shortcoming to God. Oh, he's ready. He's ready to receive you. He's ready to receive you in the name of Jesus. Where are you? What do you need amendment in your life? Where do you need God to touch you? Where do you need God to touch you? Oh, thank God, Father, here I am, O Lord. Father, I am, O Lord. Oh, help me, O Lord. Help me, O Lord. Help me, O Lord. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Well, maybe you are here. You are here. You are here to know the Lord. You are here to know the Lord. Why not ask God, Father? Oh, why you put your right hand on your chest? Ask Father. Oh, receive me unto yourself, O Lord. Receive me unto yourself, O Lord. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I cannot do anything by myself. Oh, I am powerless by myself. I need you, O Lord. I need you, O Lord. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Talk to God, talk to God. Talk to God, talk to God. In the mighty name of Jesus. I want you to talk to God. You are here. Oh, I know that we are here with diverse needs, with diverse requests. Why not tell God, Father, my coming will not be in vain, O Lord. My coming to this mountain will not be in vain, O Lord. In the name of Jesus. My coming to this mountain will not be in vain, Lord. Father, you will meet me at my point of name. You will meet me at my point of name. In the name of Jesus. You will meet me at my point of name. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, Father. We give glory unto your holy name. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Blessed be unto you, Lord. Blessed be unto you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Yeah, I just want to take this call. You are here this evening. You know. You want God to visit you anew. You know, you have been a Christian. You are born again. But one way or the other, you have missed it. One way or the other, you have missed it. I want to tell God this night, Father, I want you to change my life. I want you to visit me anew. I want everybody to close their eyes while I want to see your hands up. If you are saying, God, I want you to visit me anew. I want to visit me anew. I've missed it. Lord, this night, I want an amendment. Amend my life. Amend my life. Amend my life. Amend my life. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Talk to God, talk to God. Talk to God, talk to God. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah.
In Jesus' name we have prayed. Our Savior, we are grateful unto you for bringing us together this year. Lord, we thank you because you did not allow COVID-19 to sweep us away. Thank you for these young ones. Thank you for your grace upon their lives. Thank you for the anointing you have given unto them. Thank you for all the areas that they have achieved. Thank you because of what you are ready to do in their lives. Father, receive all praises in the name of Jesus. The Bible says, once God has spoken, twice we have heard. That power belongs to God. We know that this is the days of his power, and your children are willing. Father, the willingness to do your will, Father, grant unto them in the name of Jesus. The word of the Most High God has come out of our daddy in the Lord, the angel of this access. Father, let it be effective in the life of your children in the name of Jesus. As they stand for you, Lord, in your glory, you also stand by them in Jesus' name. As they hold on tightly unto you, that Lord, I decree and declare that even sin will not sweep them away from you, O Lord, in the name of Jesus. The grace, Lord, and the wisdom and the understanding to face the challenges of life as they are growing up, Lord, grant unto them in the name of Jesus. I pray for every one of you, it shall be well with you in Jesus' name. The grace to have a self-denial, the grace to cleave unto the Lord, the grace, even, O Lord, to live an exemplary life. The Lord will grant it unto you in the name of Jesus. In all your endeavors, the Lord will see you through. You will excel in all ramifications. The favor of God will be upon you. You will succeed in the name of Jesus. And it shall be well with you. Vocationally, you will make it. Professionally, you will make it. Academically, you will excel. Holy Spirit will connect you. Every desire of your heart, as you have come to this retreat, the Lord will grant it unto you. In the mighty name of Jesus. This is the time you have come for revelation. This is the time you have come for refreshment. This is the time you have come for revigoration. All this shall be released to your life. In the mighty name of Jesus. Spiritually, the Lord will uphold you. Morally, the Lord will be with you. You will not be a failure in the mighty name of Jesus, and you will succeed. Thank you, our dear Heavenly Father. As we are going to sleep this night, like your word told us that you give it your beloved sleep. Father, give us the grace, and give us the grace to sleep well tonight in the name of Jesus. As we sleep like babies, when we shall be waking up tomorrow, let us wake up like giants in the name of Jesus. Thank you, our dear Heavenly Father. Our daddy that has spoken the word to us, Father, you will anoint him the more. In the name of Jesus. This is what that has been spoken will profit us. In the mighty name of Jesus. On the day of judgment, it will not stand against us. In the name of Jesus. Blessed be thy holy name, Lord. Thank you, our dear Heavenly Father. For in Jesus' mighty name we do pray. Amen.